Blog Talk Radio.
The U.S. presidential election is now less than 3 months away, and the race will come into renewed focus this month. I think we've been focused on it for a while, don't you? U.S. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are both set to officially accept their party's nominations. Plus, Biden is expected to choose his running mate any day now. So who will he choose, and how might that change this presidential campaign? To get their take on what the road to November might look like, I'm joined by Alan Lichtman, professor of political history at American University and the author of several books. He joins us from Bethesda, Maryland, and Jay Shabria, Republican strategist and managing director at Mercury. He joins us from Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to you both. Professor Lichtman, I want to start with you because you have accurately predicted the outcome for U.S. presidential election since 1984. I'm sure that still sounds great every time someone says it, eh? So, of course, what we want to talk to you is about your prediction this time. People may know you do not think that Donald Trump is going to win this time around. Tell us why.
Yeah. My system is the 13 keys to the White House, and it has correctly predicted elections for four decades. Doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel old, but that's another story. And I predicted Donald Trump's win in 2016, which you can imagine did not make me very popular in 90% plus Washington, Democratic Washington, D.C. So here's how it works. The keys essentially gauge the strength and performance of the party holding the White House. They ignore the polls, the pundits, who's up, who's down on a daily basis. And if six or more of the 13 gauges go against the party holding the White House, they are a predicted loser. Late in 2019, it looked to me like Donald Trump was going to cruise to victory. He had only four keys down against him, two keys short of defeat. And then, of course, the multiple crises hit the United States. And Trump made a fundamental mistake. He thought he could run as he did in 2016. But then he was the challenger. Now he is the incumbent, and he has to run on his record. And he made the mistake of thinking he could talk his way out of the crises rather than taking urgent national action to deal with them substantively. And the result is a raging pandemic in the world's richest and most scientifically advanced country. And this has led to three more negative keys. We're in a deep recession. The National Bureau of Economic Research declared it. We've had two relentlessly negative quarters of economic growth. That's five keys down. The very negative economic growth has driven the long-term growth down below the threshold needed to hold that key. That's six. And, of course, we have social unrest spreading across the land. That's seven. So with seven negative keys against him, Donald Trump is a predicted loser. And this is a purely impartial prediction. I predicted Donald Trump to win last time. Out of nine predictions, I predicted four Republicans and five Democrats. That's as close to equality mathematically as you can get.
Now, you know, nobody predicted COVID-19, but I wonder just if your predictions could change, given that you're talking about sort of what has happened with these keys in the last few months. We've still got a few months left. Is this the final prediction?
This is the final prediction on the keys. But two things keep me up at night that have nothing to do with the keys and are outside of any prediction system. One is voter suppression. There seems to be a concerted effort on the part of Donald Trump to suppress the vote. Look, his party depends upon people like me, old white men. You can't manufacture more old white men. It's the most shrinking part of the electorate, but you can try to keep down the vote of the rising Democratic base of minority young people. The other thing is Russian intervention, which we know is coming. The intelligence chiefs have told us that, and we know Trump will again welcome it and exploit it, as Special Counsel Mueller found in 2016. Those two things really disturb me and keep me awake at night.
I saw Jay shaking his head right before we put him back on camera there. So,
hopefully soon. Excuse me. So thank you very much. Sorry for that. There was a shooting outside of the White House, and seems to be very well under control. I'd like to thank the Secret Service for doing their always quick and very effective work. But there was an actual shooting, and somebody's been taken to the hospital. I don't know the condition of the person. It seems that the person was shot by Secret Service. So we'll see what happens. And, did you have something? There are no details. We just found out just now. It was outside of the White House, this area right over here. And they'll have details for you in a little while. Somebody is taken to the hospital. It seems that the shooting was done by law enforcement at that person, at the suspect. It was the suspect who was shot. And this just took place. A couple of people outside. I noticed a man named John Roberts, who you know very well. He reported that he heard shots. He was outside and he heard two shots. We don't know yet. We don't know. They're going to find out.
Do you know if the individual said anything, sir?
We don't know that yet.
Anything
no?
Like that?
We don't know that yet.
It was the Secret Service that did shoot this
suspect.
It
seems to be, yeah.
Where were you taking, Mr. President? Were you taking to the bunker?
No, we're taking just out over to the Oval Office. Just told me when he came up, you pretty much saw it like I did. He said, sir, could you please come with me? So you were surprised. I was surprised also. I think it's probably pretty unusual. But very, very professional people. They do a fantastic job, as you know. So it seems to me, it seems to be from what I was said, there was a shooting. It was law enforcement shot someone, seems to be the suspect, and the suspect is now on the way to the hospital. I can't tell you the condition of the suspect. There was nobody else injured. There was no other law enforcement injured. And I just want to, we'll get on to the press conference, but I do want to thank you.
Yesterday, President Trump accused Democrats of being unreasonable to push for $3 trillion in economic relief for Americans and said his four executive actions will, quote, take care of pretty much this entire situation after congressional talks broke down. Joining me now to respond is the Democratic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me just start with what just happened in my interview with the president's chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow. He said that the White House didn't know how many states would contribute to the president's plan to supplement unemployment insurance or how long it would take for those payments to kick in. What's your response?
Well, first, good morning, Dana. It's nice to be with you on a Sunday morning. Let us all be prayerful that we can meet the needs of the American people, especially as we all watch the angst that is associated with sending children back to school. What the president's advisor said it really shows the weakness and the meagerness of what the president proposed. First of all, he's saying states have the money. No, they don't. They have expenses from the coronavirus. They have lost revenue. Because of that, they are firing healthcare workers, first responders, teachers, and the rest, sanitation, transportation workers, because they don't have the money. Second of all, everything is left out. Our assistance to the schools, feeding the hungry, helping people who are going to be evicted. The president's didn't even do a moratorium. He just did a study or look at a moratorium. So again, something's wrong. Either the president doesn't know what he's talking about, clearly his aides don't know what he is talking about, and or something's very wrong here about meeting the needs of the American people.
Well, let's talk about what he did do or what he said he did with these executive actions. Are they legal? And if you don't think they are you going to sue to block them?
Well, the fact is that whether they're legal or not takes time to figure out. I associate myself remarks with a Senator Sass who says they're unconstitutional swap.
But will you sue?
I think that's right. Well, right now we want to address the needs of the American people. As my constitutional advisors tell me, they're absurdly unconstitutional. But right now our focus, and that's a parallel thing. Right now, the focus, the priority has to be on, again, meeting the needs of the American people, sufficiently allocating resources to send children to school, not threatening schools that if they don't have actual attendance, they won't get the federal dollars.
So given that, are negotiations going to resume, or are negotiations dead?
I hope so. We have a big difference, and here's why. For example, millions of children in America are food insecure, and their families as well. But I always like to focus on the children. In our bill, we have tens of billions of dollars to address the hunger needs in our country, which are there normally but exacerbated during the pandemic. We have tens of billions of dollars. They have $250,000. So do they care? You know, I have a prayer that I say, let's pray for those who are hungry. Let's pray harder for those who will not feed them. Then we go to Princeton Lab on eviction lab says that we need these resources. There are going to be this many millions of evictions,
so
and the president
that,
is going to study it.
Right.
Going to look at it.
Right. So given that you are the Speaker of the House, you have enormous power. You've been in these negotiations.
Yes.
Given what you just said about people hungry and worried and very, very fearful, why not get back in that room and come up with a compromise on some of these core issues?
I understand you
want to get the best possible for people, but at some point you got to work with the other side, right?
Well, that's right. And that's why we said we'll come down a trillion, not that we cut out any of our priorities, but we shorten the length of time in which they would be in effect. And next year we can extend them again. And they could add tens of trillions, 60 trillion actually, $250,000. There's a long way for us to come together. But we'll come down a trillion, you go up a trillion, we'll find our common ground there. Let's go to the table.
Okay. So why aren't you at the table then? Why aren't you guys working all weekend then to try to figure that out?
Come back when you want to put up some more money. But we can't accept the meager pass that they have there. And by the way, this is really an issue that takes a lot of our time, opening up our schools. We have the data that shows that if you open up actually, if you open up virtually, and if you open up hybrid, it costs just about the same amount of money. And so what we've seen is of the 100 largest school districts, 62 are opening 100% virtual. And yet the president's saying, unless you open up actual, we're withholding federal dollars.
So I want to talk specifically about this extra $600 a week in unemployment benefits that expired. Two top Obama economic officials, Tim Geithner and Jason Furman, wrote in June that extending $600, quote, does not make sense now. You're standing firm on that number, on that $600. Mm-hmm. Why are you insisting on that as opposed to having a compromise with the Republicans so that people out there who are hungry, who desperately need that money, could get something rather than nothing, which is what they have now?
Well, let's just say that the $600, many economists tell us, I didn't even see that on their part, many economists tell us that that has kept many, many millions of people out of poverty, A. B, what they put on the floor of the House Senate last week was $200.
Okay, so you have $600, they have $200. What about $400? I mean,
What the president proposed yesterday at his country club, surrounded by his people who must spend thousands of dollars to join, is something that won't even work. He's talking about, well, I'll put up $400 and the states will put up $100.
Right, he's
they
talking
the
about
money.
Executive
they
action, which is questionable. I'm talking about doing it the right way.
I'm saying that what he put forth is not even workable.
Would you do $400 extra?
I'm not negotiating that right here. It depends on what else
legislatively
is in the bill. It depends on what else is in the bill. When they have $250,000 for food, nothing for elections, withholding funds from schools who want to open up virtually and the rest. Again, no money for those who will be evicted because that's the same kitchen table. I either get this money and I can help me pay the rent, or I don't get this.
I understand you
and
don't
I
want
to. I get no money to pay the rent.
I understand you don't want to negotiate with me, but my question is,
yeah.
are Republicans right when they say you will not come off of your $600 number, you will not come off of other figures, other policy initiatives that you want?
Well, some
and that's
of them,
why,
no.
And that's why you're
children.
At stalemate.
Yeah, no, that's not why we're at stalemate. We're not at stalemate because the Republicans have, from the start, never understood the gravity of the situation that we are in. They have called it a hoax. They've called it their delay, denial, distortion of this pandemic. And we cannot open our economy or open our schools safely unless we address the pandemic.
So
the basic thing is they have ignored that. The problem has grown. And it has become an enormous economic problem.
Do you take any responsibility, Madam Speaker, for the fact that this is stuck?
Others have said, the chairman of the Fed, other economists have said, pay now or pay more later. So what we're saying is let's help those who need it the most. Let's send our children safely to school. Let's make sure they have food, make sure their families are not evicted, make sure that their grandparents are
right.
not getting their
own. But right now they have nothing, as you well know, because those things expired. So.
Well, what do you think that get out of a $250,000 food designation in the Republican plan? In other words, you're acting as if there's some great big thing that they're
proposing. No, I'm not. I'm asking if there's room for compromise on your end.
Of course there's room for compromise, but you have to see the entire
package. So I want to ask about that. The next spending deadline, as you know better than I, for Congress to take action is September 30th. So is it possible that Americans will have to wait until late September, almost 2 months from now, without any congressional relief?
On September 30th to do what? I'm sorry, I missed
So that's the next deadline, you know, when you all have to act on
right,
spending.
Right, that's right.
Is it possible that this stalemate is going to last until then, that people aren't going to get relief from you all in Congress until then?
Oh, these are two separate issues. What we do on the appropriations process to meet our fiscal year deadline is one thing.
And you're confident you're going to get back to the table and figure this out?
Well, we have to. We have to. And that's why we were willing to say we'll come down a trillion. That doesn't mean the needs of the American people have gone down. It just means we recognize that they have a disdain for the needs of the American people. That's why they question whether people even need the $600. That's why they question, they say to me, some people just don't want to pay rent. We're like, well, you know what? Most people do.
All right, and welcome back to the show here. We're going to go ahead and get started. And, two nights in a row we started this show. And what's funny is, and I'm going to bring Paula in just a second because we always bring the co-host in here, but just to let everybody know, today's topic, the first thing we're going to cover is, I mean, it's just a little piece of a headline here, but Donald Trump held his campaign press conference today. And, of course, they had an incident where a man apparently was over in the White House lawn. They shot the man, and Donald Trump was whisked away off the press conference when the Secret Service came and got him and immediately took him over to the Oval Office. So the amazing part is, what was funny is Paul and I were talking last night on the show, and I said, we're going to have to do a show tonight because something amazing is going to happen. Because I have this intuitive thoughts. And being intuitive, I think about this, and I said, we're going to have to do a show tonight because there is something going to happen, and it's going to happen right around 6 o'clock p.m. my time. And I said it'll be 5 o'clock your time. And long and behold, what happened? This came out. So I knew that something – I just had a feeling, this intuitive spiritual feeling that something was going to happen. And, of course, it did. And that was one of the big conference or the biggest news story today. However, moving on, we are going to cover other subjects as well. And we really want to touch base on this mail-in voting and people out there who are so blindsided thinking that it's so corrupt and it's going to be fraudulent and everything else, that an absentee ballot, a mail-in ballot, which are both the same, by the way, that they're going to be corrupted by the system of, like, Russia and China. I don't get it. People are so stupid to think that because we have been doing it for years, and we have never had out of billions and billions, a dozen of them that were frauded, or that they found there was fraud involved. So Donald Trump decided, well, we're going to fix this. And how did he fix it? Well, he decided to get his own postmaster general, who is trying to fudge up the mail-in ballot system at the post offices, which really pisses you off. Because that's what he's trying to do, and especially in blue states, what we're finding out. And let's continue on with that. We're also going to cover something else that's very interesting, and that is this. Donald Trump signed an executive order that people think they're going to get benefits right away, and it's not going to happen. And it's not the benefits you think you're going to get. As a matter of fact, you're not going to get all those things that Donald Trump talks about. He did this as a political stunt to try to ridicule and say Democrats are bad and I'm good and I'm here to be your savior. But he's a savior of nothing, because what he signed into order will not help people who are in a rent evictions, by the way, because it is something that will not happen. But the fact that in his executive order, it's more of a it's up to you type of law towards the businesses or the landlords to make that discretion. Number two, the $600 that was that he said he was brought back $400 is false, because the states have to put the $100 up front out of their pocket, and they don't have the money because they spent all their money on the coronavirus relief and the pandemic that's currently going on that Donald Trump screwed up. So he tried to do that, and he's trying to say that they have to pay the $100 to match it. And if they don't pay the $100, then he will not give them the $300 that is actually what he's going to give them. So for unemployment, and this is something that's not going to happen, because states cannot afford to pay that extra money. They lost the money once again because we're in a COVID crisis, a pandemic. And so this is where it becomes really crazy, really stupid from Donald Trump, that he believes that this is what he's going to do. So everything he signed into law is false. By the way, and I will let Paula bring this up. So Paula, if you're listening, bring this up on the show, because I want her to cover this. The what he keeps taking credit for, which really bugs me, is the Obama, McCain, and Sanders, what they signed into law for veterans. And he takes credit for it and saying that he did this, which he did not do. It was Barack Obama, John McCain, and Sanders, 2014, 2018, they had to sign. So, 2014, excuse me. So this is something they signed in there. Now, Donald Trump revised the whole bill that they had signed into effect for the veterans in 2018, but he takes credit for it, just like he always does when he tries to take the credit for the economy. That actually Barack Obama had built up under the Obama administration, and as it built up, it continued to go up. Jobs increased, economy increased, and Barack Obama had to take that from a recession that he was in when he took oath of office. A recession. Donald Trump did not come in on a recession. Why? Because Barack Obama fixed the recession, and as we moved into the new president, Donald Trump, he took credit for it and said he did all that, which he did not do. So Donald Trump always makes these false claims, attacking the Democrats, attacking Joe Biden, attack Obama, because he hates all these people. He hates Obama especially. So what we're looking at is Donald Trump trying to waggle out this little shiny object in front of his Trump supporters to try to show them that, oh, this is a distraction. I want you to pay attention. And of course, his Trump supporters will look at it because they're stupid. I mean, they are really completely incompetent, unfortunately. So it makes me sick that I think that, and I think that that's what it is, but that's the way it is. So Donald Trump is doing all these different things because he knows he's in trouble in the polls. He knows he's in trouble because it's showing that the way he handled the COVID-19 crisis is irresponsible. He dismantled the Obama pandemic team that actually Obama put into play with a 69-page outline on how to handle pandemic response. And Donald Trump failed to do that because he decided to dismantle the pandemic team that Obama created. Because why? He hated Obama. And then we got into COVID-19 that he knew about in November when he was told about it then, and he did nothing. He did nothing again in December, in January, February. So he could have taken this into a different path where we would be better off, and we would have been better off, and the economy wouldn't be in a shithole that it's in right now, at a very low of 32% on the GDP, by the way, the worst it's been in history of America, while other countries are building back up, like South Korea, for example, and in Germany, because this is because we have a leader who has failed to handle the crisis in a presidential manner, which it should have been, and he handled it very irresponsible, and that's why we are where we're at today. So Donald Trump knows he's really fucked up, so he's trying to reach and grasp for straws and trying to get anything he can to try to win this election. He will try to cheat, steal, lie, do whatever he has to do to win this election because he does it any other time. He did it when he allowed Russia to come in and he pushed Russia and he accepted Russia's meddling in the elections in 2016. In 2020, we are very much more smarter than that and we really pay attention to that. So Donald Trump is because it's not working in his favor. So he's trying to do everything in his power to try to destroy America, as he has already destroyed it, by the way, but to destroy the election process as well. This man has broken the Constitution in so many ways and destroyed America with his Gestapo police. And I call him the Gestapo like Hitler. And he's done this in many, many ways to where he's acting just like Hitler, the dictator. So we are going to cover all this stuff on the show today. And we want to cover this as much as possible because we have so much to talk about, including the breaking headline. So let me do this. We're going to get Paula in on the show because, you know, I got to bring my co-host in and get her started. And by the way, if you want to call in, the phone number here is 319-527-6236. If you have a comment, view, question, whatever, you're more than welcome to call in. Let's hear what you got to say. We do know that the White House loves to listen in on the show, by the way. We do know they love to listen to the show. So let's get our show going. And we want to welcome the one. Yes, baby. The one and only, the woman that is above the rest when it comes to the Trumpicans, putting them in their own little places, scaring the shit out of them so they don't call in because they're afraid of her. Ladies and gentlemen, the woman that is worst nightmare. Ladies and gentlemen, this woman is very intelligent when it comes to politics. And she will destroy the Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the boys, her illustrious and unbelievable Paula Alexander. Welcome to the show. We got to give her a little bit of a round of applause. See why I do this. All right, Paula, how's it going, girl?
What an intro. Oh, my God.
I told you.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I do.
Oh, my God. That was funny. Well, yeah, it was funny. Well, first of all, I'm looking up on PolitiFact, which is one of the top five fact-checking sites in the world. In the world, they absolutely do nothing but fact-checking, realistic, not fake news. It's all reliable information. And guess there's something going around on Facebook that says Nancy Pelosi is trying to blackmail Congress. I'm reading it right now. She demands mail-in voting or no second stimulus for you and your family. The post was flagged as part of, The post was flagged as part
of
Facebook.
No, you are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Go ahead, hon.
Trumpsters out there, you are so stupid to believe this bullshit. The post was flagged as part of Facebook's efforts to combat false news and misinformation on its news feed. In other words, Facebook flagged it as false news. This claim is inaccurate for a lot of reasons. But for some background, should I read the whole thing? It's quite a bit.
Is it quite a bit? Read some of it. I think it's...
Okay. The Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act, also known as the HEROES Act, passed the Democrat-led House of Representatives more than 2 months ago. The Health Economic Assistance, Liability Protection, and Schools Act, also called the HEALS Act, was introduced by Senate Republicans at the end of July, but hasn't passed the Senate yet. Okay, let me go on down. Now, back to the claim that Pelosi demands, quote-unquote, mail-in voting and is, quote, blackmailing, unquote, Congress. Pelosi said in April that the House's second stimulus package would be supporting vote-by-mail in a very important way. So what it's all false. This is one of the top fact-checking sites in the world, people. And it's claimed as false. So if you really think that she is demanding all this shit, you're so fucked up. It's not even funny. It's all false.
I got a question for you. So I seen the post that somebody put out there where Donald Trump was talking about. This is how I got to tell you. This is how stupid the man is. He claims that the Spanish flu pandemic in 19 that it ended the World War II in 1917.
I saw that. He's such a fucking idiot.
Oh my God.
Not even, I mean, World War II wasn't fought until 1938 to World War I ended in 1919. So for him to be so stupid as to say that the Spanish flu ended World War II, he's a fucking idiot.
And by the way, World War II ended in 1945, September 2nd, 1945, by the way.
Thank you.
Not 1917.
What about, talk to me, look up World War I. When did it end?
Okay, so World War One ended in November 11th, 1918.
Okay, so it ended in 1918. So that was like 30 years before World War One, and he's claiming that the Spanish flu ended World War Two in 1938. Wrong. Not.
And by the way, the Spanish flu was 1918 to 1920.
There you go. My dad had it. My dad told me. My dad told me about having it when as a child. He was born in 1911, and he had it as a child, and he suffered. And if he had not survived, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now, Jerry.
I know. See, and these Trumplicans wouldn't know what to do.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
So the funny thing is that, you know, the of course, you know, saying that we had to do the show today, and of course, I knew something was going to happen because I had that thought, that feeling.
Here's what happened. I looked for it all day long, Jerry.
I know. I said, now it's going to happen right around 6 p.m. my time, 5 your time. And then also
well,
I get a message from Paula because I was actually out working. you messaged me to tell me about
it. Yeah. I called you.
And yes, and you did this. It was at 6:22 p.m. my time.
Which would have been.
Sorry. No, you called me. You called me at 5:59, and at 5:56, you said, "Oh my God, you're right. The White House is on lockdown."
There you go.
So there you go.
So Trump was doing his little press conference on coronavirus, which is actually a mini rally in front of the press, in front of the American public. And apparently the Secret Service, he was in mid-sentence, they said. In mid-sentence, and the Secret Service stepped on the stage and said, "Sir, we got to go." And he's like, "What? Huh? We got to go." And he was like, "Okay." And he was only gone for 8.5 minutes. And, excuse me, one of the reporters said they heard shooting outside. And apparently somebody was trying to break in to the White House gates or fence or whatever. I've been trying to find out more information before the show, and I can't.
No,
they're not right now, but they might. So they're saying somebody tried to break through the gates, the fence at the White House, and that the Secret Service or the police, one of the Washington police around the area, they stay there, not just the Secret Service, but the White House police. And one of them is injured, too, and was taken to the hospital. I hope he's okay. Shall I say it, Jerry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Too bad that didn't climb the fence. But, you know, somebody tried to break into the White House in, I think it was 2011, and had an automatic, some sort of automatic gun and tried to break in. While I was trying to look up information about today's event, I found information about the 2011, and that was before Obama. That would have been Bush. That would have been Bush. So.
Yeah, that was Bush.
And George W. Jr. is the one who created the recession in 2008. So somebody was pissed back then. But anyway, that's not regarding today's event. But that shows how, it actually shows, I have an uncle that was Secret Service. And it shows how good Secret Service is.
Yep.
And the Washington Police. I just wish he could have climbed that damn fence.
Why did he not know how to climb it?
Please don't me for that. Because I know there's a lot of people who think the same way I do.
I know. And that's the whole thing. I was like, oh, man. You know. But the thing is that, and by the way, I want people to know, just because, I had that intuitive thoughts and what was going on, doesn't mean I knew that, you know, that I was involved in it or anything. So I just want people to know that, too.
Right.
But we do get the White House that listens to this show, so I just want to make sure we know that.
Yeah, Jerry and I talk on the phone every night after the show, and he told me that we were doing a show again tomorrow night, which is tonight, because something was going to happen today regarding Trump. He didn't know what it was. He couldn't tell me what it was, but he knew it, and he nailed it. There was something that did happen. Okay. Next conversation.
Oh, hey,
okay.
And by the way, I got a question for you because you're going to get ready to get in the next conversation. Something I wanted to ask you was, did you hear about Donald Trump is going to be defunding the Social Security program with his executive orders? Okay.
Right. Well, but the deal is with the executive order that he signed yesterday, they're saying it's not even legal.
No, it's not.
It's all a ploy. It's a ploy.
Yeah, political stunt.
It's a political stunt to try to get people to vote for him in November.
And
that's
sickening because people depend upon this damn thing because they're suffering,
right.
And this son of a bitch goes out and does this and plays on these people's emotions.
Right. And let me tell you, in the high dollar states of this country, there is nobody that can live on, is it $600 a month or $600 a week?
You talking about the unemployment thing?
Yeah.
It's $600 a week.
Okay. Even at that, when I lived in California, I lived in California for 4 years. I lived 50 miles from Los Angeles. I lived in San Bernardino. I had a beautiful 2.5-year-old home. And the lady's husband had passed away in it, which we didn't find out till after we moved in, and the neighbors told us. But anyway, and by the way, Jerry, I knew there was something going on while I was there. But anyway, our mortgage on that beautiful home, beautiful backyard, beautiful patio, our mortgage was over $1,300 a month. Now, if you think if it was today and I was still living in that home, still married to that husband and living in that home, he lost his job because he was in the jewelry business. Let's say he did. Let's say he did. Does anybody think that we can pay our mortgage, buy our groceries, pay our car payments, buy our car insurance, and pay our utilities on that money? No. It would be really hard to do. Because only that money, not even 2 weeks of that money, would pay for that mortgage on that home. It would not work out. It would not work out. I can't see it happening. And, you know, people are desperate for that money. It's helping them survive. They've all lost their jobs. They're trying to support children. They pay their utilities, pay their mortgages, pay their rent. Like California and New York, where the dollar amount is high. I mean, it would be really hard to do on that. And now he wants to bring it down to $1,400 a month. And he's saying, well, the states have to pay a fourth of that. States are already in dire straits because they're begging for federal help from Trump and the GOP to help them out with coronavirus problems, with their own issues. So, you know, don't tell me that I can see the states right now going, no, I can't do that. It's all a false claim to try and get votes in November. He's trying to brag. You know, I'm helping you out. And he's not helping people out.
So, exactly.
And the other thing about the press conference today, he's saying, well, you know, a reporter said, well, okay. What's that mean?
Well, that tells you how many followers are listening in right now. And, of course, we have one of them on there that we figure we'd let you know.
Hi, White House.
Donald, if you just want to talk, it's easy. All you got to do is hit the button there, buddy. And then you can talk
call
to
in.
Us.
Or if it's Jared or...
Yeah. We would love to be able to interview you. I think it would be awesome. It would be very interesting. And I think
interesting.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my. I know, right?
Is that Donald calling you? Hey, Donald, are you live? Hey, Donald. How you doing, buddy?
What a whiny little bitch.
Oh, my God. And the thing is that he passed that executive order, even though it's unconstitutional, but he's expecting the damn states to pay $100. He'll do $300, they have to pay the $100 for the unemployment. And the states don't have the money because they've spent all their money in the coronavirus.
Right.
People think they're going to get this fucking money. They're not.
And a lot of people, a lot of states, a lot of governors are already begging for help. They're asking for PPE. They're asking for masks, gowns, footies, whatever it takes. And Donald, if you're listening, you're not giving it out. And you're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit.
No, because you just played on people's emotions who are depending upon that money. And then you even had people come out and speak today saying that it's going to be out within the next week or two, which is false again.
So, is it where he can, whoever the caller is, can you listen to them? Well,
nope.
Ain't that shit? Chicken shit.
No, you can't. You could just they would have
chicken
to let us know that they want to talk.
Okay. So, my notes. I took notes.
You took notes? Oh boy.
Yeah, I did. I told you on Messenger, but apparently you didn't read it.
I did not. I did not.
So, apparently, Trump is taking credit for the HEROES Act. You already explained that. You explained that earlier. But that was actually Obama. Obama. Hello, Obama. That created the HEROES Act. And the other thing is, he's trying to say that what is it about? They're creating some sort of health that will cover people with pre-existing conditions. Well, that also already exists.
I mean, it's already there, man.
Through Obamacare, you fools. Through Obamacare. It already but Trump is trying to take credit. And then he says, well, it's like a safety net on Obamacare. Give me a fucking break. You don't need a safety net. Because it's already there. It's already there. Okay. So, let me see, look at my notes. I already covered it. Oh, and Trump keeps saying, and he said it today, and it was, and they heal up. I'm sorry.
Yes. Considering there's a new number that's showing 97,000 children have the coronavirus.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know the number, but thank you. And he's saying
that.
And those children take that home to their parents, to their grandparents, to their friends, and then their friends spread it. And I mean, how many children have died? Children has also died. What kind of cold-blooded motherfucker is it okay for any child to die from coronavirus? And they're saying that because the children haven't gotten it as much, it's because their parents have kept them inside. And now, all of a sudden, they're going out. They're forcing them to go to school. And they're taking the coronavirus home with them. What cold-blooded motherfucker does that? Oh, it's nothing. It's no big deal. Children heal up. They don't catch it much. I mean...
Oh, man. If that was the case, then why is he so – he's not putting Barron back in school properly? Because he's afraid of
it. Well, I thought he said he was putting Barron back in school.
Yeah, but there's some stipulations to where Barron's going to be in school. He's getting his own little private rooms and stuff. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Then why don't they just homeschool him?
Exactly.
They have the money.
At least
why don't they just...
At least with,
why don't they...
At least with the with Michelle and Brock, they had their children go to school and interact with kids.
Right. I'm trying to set
my... As a matter of fact,
they
even let... they had kids come over to the White House and spend the night and stuff with the their children. So... They let them have a normal life, and, you know, as much as they could.
But, I mean, it is coronavirus. I can understand where they don't want Barron back in a school that might possibly bring, and probably the doctors in the White House have told him, you know, don't send Barron back to school because that puts the president in jeopardy. I mean, I can understand that.
So
I mean,
he won't send Barron, but he'll send our kids back.
Right, exactly. Every child should be in school. You know, it's good for the schools, and you know, people in Georgia are just the one of the nurses that I saw an interview tonight posted the video of the crowded hallway with nobody wearing a mask. Their school, okay. They now have coronaviruses in the school, and the school nurse resigned.
Oh my God!
Yeah, she resigned over it. She didn't want nothing to do with it, so. So,
and,
anyway, next subject.
And by the way, they just had a news, this is breaking news. Beijing ordered a second lockdown of the bubonic plague in China. They're getting their second round of the coronavirus.
You just said bubonic.
And this?
You just said bubonic plague.
Bubonic, that's what I meant, sorry.
Getting the bubonic plague in China?
That's correct, yes.
Holy crap.
That's bad.
Holy crap. Well, my thought is, okay, here's the next pandemic in America.
Yeah. Will we be able to handle that?
I mean, bubonic plague and coronavirus. Oh, my God. Are they still listening?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes, ma'am.
God.
Hey. And it
hey,
says
White
it right
House.
Here, I love how you post. They post this. See, it says Trump is using COVID-19 as a cover to gut Social Security and Medicare. Critics are charging for this. And Donald Trump is they erupted Saturday after President Donald Trump signed the executive actions that include deferring payroll taxes that provide funding for both Social Security and Medicare. So while Trump is characterizing as boosting a financial boost for the Americans struggling, the amid of the COVID-19 crisis, critics blasted and the cynical ploy to do what Trump has long intended to do, gut the vitality, important social service programs, just as Americans need them more than ever during a pandemic. There you go.
I'm on Social Security. He better not take my fucking money. that I paid into my entire life. I'm almost 67. I've been working since I was 16 years old. I went on early retirement at 63. He better not be taking my fucking money out of my account, because I barely get by as it is. Better not
Even former presidential candidate Cory Booker says, in a tweet, says that this is all a stunt. Cutting unemployment benefits and cutting Social Security and Medicare only deepens the pain people are feeling. Congress must act in a way that meets the scale of the crisis. Trump and Senate Republicans need to stop the games and come to the table now.
And, you know, this is the thing about the Republicans, is that they have been threatening to George W. Bush did borrow from Social Security to go to a war. I imagine we're just catching up. That's what caused the Great Recession of 2008.
Exactly.
I'm almost beyond words. Don't you fucking my money. Don't you dare cut me off for money. Social Security was created to help older citizens to survive. And that's what I'm doing on Social Security. I'm surviving. Barely. But surviving. And now you want to take that away from me? Some of it away from me? Don't you fucking dare. I'll be getting in a wheelchair and I'll wheel all the way to the White House and fucking beat your ass.
And, by the way, here you guys go. The White House is considering directing the Postal Service not to deliver mail-in ballots. 23 postal executives, I don't know what that means. But anyway, postal services were sacked this week. If this doesn't scare you, democracy needs to be an optional. They're already redirecting shit.
What they're doing is he's trying to say mail-in ballots. He's saying, okay, we said this last night. I'm going to say it again. He says they're all right, but mail-in ballots aren't. They're one and the fucking same. And now he's hired some big donor to his election, re-election, as a postmaster general. And all they're trying to do is keep mail-in absentee ballots from being sent out. That's all he's trying to do, because he says it's fraud. He says it's fraudulent. There's so many fake people. They're, you know, illegal immigrants are able to vote. Oh, my God, what a load of bullshit. What a load of bullshit.
Exactly.
I mean, it really is. It's a load of bullshit. All it is a ploy to keep people from voting, when, in fact, it's a way to keep people from standing in a line at the voting booth to keep from catching coronavirus. I mean,
yep.
what? he says he's concerned about coronavirus and the health of Americans, but everything about him says he's not. He's not mandating masks. He's not sending out. He does not have a federal guideline. I mean, he's the master in charge, and he cannot go to wear a mask. Even when was it Friday night when he did his little thingy at his golf course thing?
Yeah,
people there.
New Jersey.
It was in New Jersey. There is a mask mandate, yet nobody was wearing a mask. Except the press. And it was law. They did, they broke the law by not wearing a mask because that was a mandate in that state. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about Jerry. He only cares about himself and what he can get away with. All he are they still listening?
Yeah, we do, and we have some people listening here. So I want to welcome everyone who are listening via the phone. Those who are listening, thank you very much for tuning in here. I know some people like to listen. And by the way, if you want to call in, you have a question, comment, the phone number is 319-527-6236, and you can call us a question. Also, if you'd like to shoot a message via email, it's tcbtalk2@gmail.com. That is tcbtalk2@gmail.com. And so we just want to bring that up so everybody knows in case you want to do either one. Do you have your notes there?
I do.
What else did we not cover yet?
Okay. The fact that John Kasich is speaking on behalf of Biden, which I think is freaking awful. He's a Republican, lifelong Republican, and I saw an interview with him just before we got into the podcast, and he is saying, I've had enough. He's not going back to he's not changing to the Democratic Party. He said that that the Republican Party isn't what it used to be, but that he's had enough out of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And that's why he's speaking on behalf of Joe Biden.
I'm very proud of John Kasich for doing that, too. I really am.
I supported
him and everything. And
the
thing is that when he came out and told the people that he was not going to run again because he could not put his family, he said he could not let his conscience be normal around his family, having to support and defend Trump. And as a matter of fact, when they had the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, if you remember, they had it up there in Columbus where it was. Did you know that he did not even attend that convention?
No,
he refused
I didn't
to
know
do
that.
So. Oh, yeah, he refused because he said he does not support Donald Trump.
Yeah, he said that tonight, that he does not support Donald Trump on the interview I saw him on. So so this leads me to a question for you. Who do you think Who do you think Biden is going to ask to be his VP? It's going to be
a
woman.
Question. That's a good question. I was thinking, I'm going to tell you, I was leaning towards Kamala Harris is who I was thinking.
Me too. You know, but a lot of people say, well, she's bitchy and she's, you know. But the thing is,
yeah.
Like me, that could just mean a strong woman.
Exactly. Well, she was
a
pretty
strong woman.
She was very strong in the debates, I thought.
Oh yeah.
I really
you know, liked her.
Yeah, me too.
So the DNC is a week from tonight. Did you know that?
Yes. And
okay.
The Republican one is going to be on the 24th of August. Which Donald Trump is going to either be apparently in the White House or he's going to do it in Gettysburg. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard. I know, it's hilarious. I mean, of losers.
Exactly.
They lost.
But
it is.
He wants to go down there and fly those Confederate flags. You know he does. You know he wants to go down there and praise the Confederate flags and all that shit. You know he does.
Probably. He wants
to
see people
you, that's
show up. He wants to see people. He wants to see his followers show up on motorcycles with Confederate flags.
Yep.
Excuse me. And speaking of that, Sturgis, South Carolina. I mean, South Dakota, I'm sorry. South Dakota. I'm an ex-biker chick. I've been patched with a group. And I love the biker lifestyle. It's fun. But if you think I would take a chance on going to get to Sturgis this year with 250,000 people from all over the country that are whoever may have coronavirus and spread that out to possibly me or whoever I was with, you're fucking nuts. They are, those people are crazy for doing this.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And you know, it's funny because yesterday they were doing a live shot with, CNN was doing a live shot with the reporter there. And he's standing in the middle of the road as they go past him. And just as they tuned into him, he said he had a mask on. He goes, I wish you could see my smile. Because some guy just rode past me going, coronavirus is a hoax. So the bikers are, but I do have to say, I'm on a page on Facebook called Liberal Group.
Paula. Okay, we lost Paula. I don't know where she went. And like that, she is gone. I don't know what happened to her. Okay, so we lost Paula. Let's let's give Paula a second to come back. And she probably was talking. And we have this every once in a while where we'll lose people. Especially Paula, and I hate when we do that. So while we wait for Paula to call back, let's
and
play
finally,
along.
New rule, if even dead people hate you, you got to ask, am I doing something wrong?
This is Donald Trump's eulogy.
You know, the only bipartisan agreement we seem to have these days is that neither party wants Donald Trump at their funerals. John McCain, Barbara Bush, Elijah Cummings, John Dingell, and now John Lewis. All their families felt the same way. Our loved one is dead. Don't ruin it. Trump is about as welcome at a funeral as the gypsy woman who wanders into restaurants and sells you roses at a business dinner. And he's the president, and people still don't want him there. It's like a children's hospital turning down Batman. What kind of spectacular prick do you have to be that everyone's last request is, make sure that asshole isn't at my funeral? You know, I watched the eulogies last week for John Lewis and was struck by the genuine outpouring from everyone who ever encountered this model of a man. And I thought of Trump and actually felt sad for him because at his funeral, no one will ever talk about him like that. And then I thought, maybe if Trump could hear what a eulogy for him would sound like, maybe that would give him some insight into himself. So I've prepared a modest example. Now, let me be clear, so the Secret Service feels no need to visit. I wish Donald Trump a long, healthy life someplace where he can't harm America. And I have only condemnation for anyone who would ever wish any president, no matter how much you dislike them, any physical harm. But in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, when Tom and Huckleberry Finn get to attend their own funeral, they learn a lot about themselves. So in that spirit, let us imagine ourselves many years in the future and listening to these soothing words. Dear family and frenemies of Donald Trump, some men look at the world and ask why. Donald Trump looked at the world and asked, what's in it for me? His generosity knew only limits, and he never once failed to put himself before others. He was a devoted father who every day tried to teach his children the wrong lessons of life. Be quick to anger, never let go of a grudge, see the worst in people, and treat them all equally, based strictly on how much money they make and what they look like. So many wanted to speak here today, but couldn't break their non-disclosure agreements. And our hearts go out to Melania, who RSVP'd maybe. Donald always said he knew she was the one the moment he saw her and said those three little words, add to cart. Donald loved so many things, money, golf, lawsuits, porn stars, dictators, organized crime, and the 35% of the American people who still like him. The other 65% could go fuck themselves. He once said that the experience of not being in Vietnam taught him the most important lesson of all, that there's no problem so big you can't lie your way out of it. And when it came to flouting the law, he was a criminal's criminal. And intellectually a midget among giants, a man of few words, about 100, mostly tremendous, disgusting, strongly, and shithole. Donald Trump never met a man he liked, and yet he always suffered fools. You could tell him anything and he'd believe it. It's painful to think he could still be with us if only his personal physician wasn't that lady who believed medicine came from outer space. Donald's greatest hero, Winston Churchill, said of his own mortality, I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter. Well, God, Trump's your problem now. As for me personally, I guess what I'll miss most about Don is his dull wit. He was never laughing. And when he made you laugh, it was always unintentional. But as a walking parody of himself, he was a challenge to satirize and made me a better comedian for it. He died as he lived, wearing makeup and lying in front of all of us. So fly free, whiny little bitch, fly free. May you find the peace your Twitter thumbs never could.
How does a bastard, orangeman, son of a horse and a pumpkin, pluck from the middle of a forgotten slot on our television, Apprentice, WrestleMania, Zoolander, end up our freaking president and leader? Now the world's upside down, we're like, this guy is insane, man. Why he banned TikTok when Corona isn't dead yet? Get your B-Bus Nation making America great again. Henny, we gotta do something. If we don't change, man, we'll be stuck with Trump again. You heard me, we'll be stuck with Trump again. Ugh. If we don't rise up and start registering, just you wait, just you wait. Oh. He'll be back soon, you'll see, with his QAnon conspiracies. He'll be back, time will tell, if we're stuck with four more years of hell. From racist tweets to sex scandal, we have seen him get away with it all. But if we kick, scream, and crawl, we can send a fully armed battalion to vote his ass out in the fall. Da 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 da. Favorite subject, a pussy grabbing subject, a lying, spying subject, oppressor, obsessor, regressor, divider, retweeter, self bronzer, and the worst presidential failure. Don't come back for four more. We will fight this fight and win this war. For more love, for less hate. We just wish Obama could have stayed. Oh, that's me. When you're gone, you'll be shocked, and you'll find a way to blame Barack. But when Bush comes to shove, you and all your friends and family, well, you're really kind of fucked. Da 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 da. Bite on. Da 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 da. Bite on. Da 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 da. Bite on. Everybody. Da 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 da.
I love it. Oh my God. And the funny thing is that I'm going to tell you right now, can you not wait until you hear on November 3rd on election night when it says the results are in, and we're going to go ahead and predict that Joe Biden is now the president of the United States. Woohoo! It's coming very soon. Okay, we were having some phone issues. I got Paula. Let me pick her back up because we were having some issues here. But we are back, and we were talking about something. Where were we at? What were we talking about? I don't remember now.
I don't either.
Oh, my God.
I think it was Joe's VP.
Oh yeah, we're talking about Joe's VP.
Yeah.
Which is which I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to hear. Let everybody know. Here's my other prediction here. And my
I want to hear your prediction.
My intuitive prediction is coming out this week. We will hear approximately around. I am going to feel around about Wednesday and the Thursday, probably about Thursday-ish. The Joe Biden will announce his VP and who he picks, and it will be interesting. It will be a very interesting pick because we'll find out who he does pick. Who do you think it's going to be? I will tell you this, that everybody will be very excited when you hear the pick. I will say this. I do believe that he's going to be leaning towards Harris is what we were talking about. But that's where I feel we're going.
Your wife is saying the show's not playing on the site.
Yeah, because it was recorded and it stopped for a second, so it does that. It's all right. We'll continue on. We're almost there anyway to finish it up. But that's what I'm saying. I think they were having some issues again.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, who is the – okay. I'm looking this up. Hang on.
It'll be interesting.
Okay. Keisha Lance Bottoms, who is the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia. She's awesome, but I don't think it's her. I don't think it's her.
It's going to be interesting. It will be very interesting to see how this comes out.
Okay. We all know, and everybody is saying, that if he doesn't pick an African-American woman as a VP, he might lose. So I'm predicting Kamala Harris.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But because some people don't like her. But they don't like her because she's such a strong woman. And I'm a really strong woman. You know, I might not be able to be senator, but I'm a really fucking strong woman.
It will be interesting. And I will tell you this, though. I'm going to say this also. I do, like I said before, people always want to know. They're like, "Oh, so what's your thoughts or your feelings?" Because I do these predictions. Let me just say this: that truthfully, when it comes to November 3rd, I'm telling you, I foresee Joe Biden winning the election, and I see that Donald Trump is not going to take it fairly, and he's going to try to fight it as much as he can, we see with Al Gore and George Bush, he's going to do everything in his power to try to grasp that last straw to try to see if he can get it. And then he's going to get pissed. He's going to rile up his base and try to fight back as well. So it's going to be interesting. But I will say that Joe Biden's going to win.
Yeah, me too. But do you think it's going to create a civil war?
It's going to create a very serious situation. It will, definitely. Will it create a civil war? No, I don't think so. But it will create something.
Hang on a minute. Let me ask Jenny a question. Jenny, can you hear me? It says you're live but waiting on host.
What the fuck?
You wanna hang up and call back?
It might be that. Yeah, let me do that. I'll be